hymns of praise to God. And it says, and the prisoners were listening to them. Can you imagine the prisoners? We're in prison. What are they so happy about? But it made Paul distinct. Those other prisoners saw that Paul and Silas had something different going on in them. On Mount Zion, one day, the 144,000 who will be purchased from the earth will sing to our Lord. It says they will sing a new song, like we said before, a new song before the throne of Christ in Revelation 14:3. This passage explains several things to us that we're looking at this morning. It explains among whom we are supposed to sing, from where we are supposed to sing, with what, to whom, and how we, as Spirit-filled believers, are to sing. So first, among whom do believers sing? Who do we sing with? The answer is fellow believers. This is our primary audience on earth. Fellow believers. We're to sing, gather together, and sing praises to our God. This passage says, speaking to one another. Talking about fellow brothers and sisters. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We are supposed to praise God together. Not just individually, but together. We're supposed to come among one another as the body of Christ and sing whole as His body. We never in the Bible see music characterized or being intended to be evangelistic. Although, God can and does use the gospel content in music to reach out, to give truth to the lost. God does do that. But the songs of faith, the songs about God, are not necessarily for the world to sing. They're for the saved to sing. The songs about God are merely foolishness to those who are lost and perishing. They don't understand it. It's the Word of God. We're to sing God's words. How can the world understand what is God's Word, what God's words are, unless they have the Holy Spirit? But we said it is God's Spirit that puts music in our hearts. So we sing among those others of us who have God's Spirit in their hearts. So how do believers sing? Well, when we are filled with the Spirit, we are to, as this verse says, be speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. The word speaking here comes from the word laleo. And in its most basic sense, this word laleo simply means to make a sound. To make a sound. It's an onomatopoeic word. And it probably refers to children. And this word comes from listening to children begin their speaking. Laleo. It makes me think of the children when they start to speak. They say la la and making, practicing songs, practicing sounds, practicing the things they say. And so the basic sense of this word is to make a sound. It was even used of chirping of birds and the grunting of animals. So this word here includes all sorts of sounds. It's not necessarily speaking, but it's making sound, communicating with each other somehow. So this word includes basically any sound from a Spirit-filled heart. If your heart is filled with the Spirit, make a sound, communicate somehow with your believers, with your fellow believers. These are the sounds that please God. The ones that come from a heart, the result of submitting to His Spirit, and then sings or plays some sort of instrument for His glory. Music from an organ or a church choir is no more acceptable to God than a guitar or a homemade flute or a cardboard tube that you pretend like you playing like a flute. anything that music comes from, that the heart that's behind it is filled with God's Spirit, is music to God's ears. Anything. Psalms, the word here says, making melody, singing in psalms, refers primarily to the Old Testament psalms. They have a bunch of different songs, music, the music, and they would say, let's sing this psalm, this set of words, to this tune. And then maybe next time they'd sing it to this tune. But they would get together and they would sing the psalms. They, above everything else, these psalms magnified God and glorified God. That was the purpose, to magnify and glorify God. The next is to sing hymns. And these refer to songs of praise, songs that exalt God. They specifically praise and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it talks about spiritual songs. They're probably songs of testimony that covered a broad category, included any musical expressing of spiritual truth. Today we can look at this. The Psalms would be when we would actually sing a psalm out of the Old Testament set to music. Hymns, we could think of Amazing Grace, How Great Thou Art, words that are doctrinal and bring praise to Jesus Christ. And then spiritual songs, kind of like our praise hymns of today, that speak about our own experience with God, our testimony to God. Then it says, we are singing and making melody. Sing, from Edo, which means to sing with the voice. This specifically means singing with the voice. Whenever you see that singing, and it says specifically singing, this word used in the Bible, it's always in reference and in relation to praising God. Never in the Bible is singing used for anything else other than praising God when we are commanded to do it. And the human voice is the most beautiful of all instruments. Its various tones, its inflections, its moods. It's almost endless, the variety you can get from the human voice. Nothing else is as changeable, as pliable, as magnificent as this. And because it's human itself, it can only speak to us as no other form of music. So we're singing to God using our own body, the instrument He has put inside of us, to praise His name, to glorify Him. Solo, making the melody, literally means, the word solo means to pluck a stringed instrument, but eventually came to mean using any instrument. He says, sing and play instruments to the God of heaven, the one true God. The Spirit-filled heart can use anything to make music, voice or instrument. Music in the church today, guys, listen to this. Music today must, in the church, honor and glorify God. There's a huge attempt today to use music to bring people into the church and to water down its message and just use it as a reaching out tool. But today, guys, we must be different than the world. It must honor God. It must bless those who hear it. Whether it's a psalm about God's greatness, a hymn about Christ's redemption, or a spiritual song of testimony of God's power, help, or His comfort, music should be an expression of the Spirit-filled church following after God, looking deeply into His Word in obedience to Him. This should be our expression. From where do singers believe? Where do Christians believe and make music? Where does this come from? What's the source of this? It is, as this verse says, with our heart. To sing and make music with your heart. This heart is what causes you to sing. The new heart that God creates in you causes this to happen. It's the channel through which we sing praises. It's where it comes from. This music is centered in our hearts, in our minds, in what God has made new, our new spirit. We must sing with our lips, with anything else the Lord endows us with, to make music to Him. You know, even a true Christian, someone who's a true believer in Christ, can sing without this pure heart. If a Christian is not spirit-filled, if a Christian is focused on themselves when they get up to sing or when they stand there and sing, if they're prideful in their voice, in their technique, if they think, oh, look how good I am, I hope everyone hears me, they're singing for their own glory, and they're not singing to praise God. So we must put all this aside. It's possible for pride, for acclaim, for fame, money, to bring such spiritless singing. And I've seen it before. I have friends that left high school and went on a journey to go into ministry, into music ministry, and got sidetracked by fame, sidetracked by trying to have acclaim and people see them sing, and it drew them away from God. And a lot of them are on this fruitless journey looking to be filled up themselves because of this search for pride. Their singing is not to glorify God, but to glorify themselves. The people's hearts are not right with God. He has a way of turning their festivals into mourning, and their songs into lamentations. It's from Amos 8:10. And through the same prophet Amos, God said, "Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not even listen to the sound of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." When you sing with an unclean heart, God doesn't even want to hear it. He says, "Take away from me that noise. Take away from me that noise." He wants to hear you praising Him, not exalting yourself. He desires your praise and your submission and your obedience to Him. He says, stop singing until your hearts are right. Our music can't be like that of the world's. Our God is not like their gods. The world's music reflects the world's ways, the world's standards, the world's attitudes, and the world's little g gods. To attempt to use their music to reach the world is lowering the gospel in order to spread the gospel. If the world hears that our music is not much different from theirs, they'll be inclined to think that maybe the Christian way of life is not much different than the world. We should stand out in everything. How can you use depressing music to show how happy and wonderfully blessed we are? God has created music to be glorious and wonderful and beautiful. To whom do believers sing? Now, we already said, among whom do we sing? We sing among each other. Our earthly audience, when we sing, is among the other believers. But to whom do we directly sing? It is to the Lord. He is our primary audience. Not only is He the one we sing of, He's the one we sing to. Our purpose should be to praise God and to rejoice in God. Johann Sebastian Bach, who was probably the greatest musician of all time, said, "The aim of all music is the glory of God." The words of every song, every Christian song, everything you sing should be biblical. It should be distinctly, clearly, and accurately accurately reflecting the teaching of God's Word as a believer. We shouldn't even want to sing those things that glorify the world, or things that might make others feel that we look lightly upon God, might make others think we glorify the things of the world. Even if we don't, we need to be careful what our music says to others. This music that honors the Lord does another thing. It blesses His people. When you sing music to the Lord that honors Him, not only does it honor and glorify Him, but it blesses each other. Beautiful music can be soothing. It can calm your nerves. It can remove fear and anxiety. It can reduce bitterness and anger. It can help turn our attention from ourselves, our cares, our problems in this world, and turn our attentions towards God. And nothing does this better than Christian music, because not only is the music beautiful and soothing, the words in the music are the gospel of salvation and the hope of what is to come. What's more wonderful than that? There's nothing else that can bring us from a point of despair to the joy of the Lord than the gospel of Jesus Christ and His Word. And when you put that to music, how moving is it in our lives? We see David, not only was he a man of God, but he was a skillful musician. We are told that in 1 Samuel 16:23, whenever the evil spirit from God came to Saul, David would take the harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would be refreshed and be well, and the evil spirit would depart from him. Music blessed him emotionally, physically, and spiritually. In the 17th and 18th centuries, physicians would even prescribe music for the mentally disturbed patients. They even had different types of music they would prescribe for different ailments. Today, modern behaviorists have found that this aspect is actually sound. And they figured out which music is the most calming for the dentist chair, which music brings the most patients in an elevator. They've determined what music helps office productivity, and so on and so on. But if you are a Christian, if you have the Spirit-filled life, if you're constantly submitting yourself to God in His direction, in His Word, you are called to God's music. That which honors, glorifies, and brings attention only to Him, not to ourselves. That is the music to which we are called. Sing within yourself. Sing outwardly to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name, proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. Let's pray. Father, You are so good. Lord, You put in our hearts this new song, and You lift us up to praise and honor You, Father. Day by day, You bless us with Your words through song. And Lord, now as we enter into a time of remembrance through the partaking of the Lord's Supper, Father, we thank You for Your music. We thank You for giving us this reminder that You are first above all. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to read along with me, I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Lord's Supper is a time for us to examine ourselves as we go into this. We examine ourselves to be in the right relationship with God. And then, after that, we remember what the Lord has done for us. And I know a lot of times, sometimes we try to make this as solemn as we can. But really, inside of us, this should be a joyous occasion. A time for the song in our hearts to be welling up. So remember what the Lord has done for us. And this morning, let's be glad. 1 Corinthians 11:27 says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord." So no man should examine himself. So a man should examine himself, rather. In this way, he should eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many are sick and ill among you, and many have fallen asleep. If we were properly evaluating ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that none of you can come together and not cause judgment. And I will give instruction about the other matters when I come. Let's take a moment before we partake of this reminder of our Lord's death and the glorious blessings we have from Him. Let's examine ourselves, offering up confession of sin, getting in the right relationship with Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for being able to come joyously into your house, to see how you put the music in our hearts, and to enjoy this wonderful time where we can remember the things you have for us and remember the ultimate sacrifice you made for us so you could bless us with every blessing under the sun, Father. Every spiritual blessing, Lord, you have given to us, and this is a reminder of how you did that. In Jesus' name, amen.